Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. We are so glad that you have joined us because we need to know truth as a people. There are so many lies and untruths out there that a lot of laws, a lot of policies are being made because we, the people who are supposed to hold our leaders accountable, are not able because we lack the knowledge. So today we are so grateful to have our good friend, Ms. Annette Griswold, with us. And I see Ms. Barbara Moore. We are on a new format here, well, rather a new switchboard, and we are still trying to learn it. So we're going to try to see if we can't get Ms. Barbara to join us. She may have to call back, and we'll try to get her back on. But hopefully we can work this out so that she can join us. But Ms. Annette, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Diana. Thank you for inviting me. I always enjoy being on your program, and I thank the Lord for the work that you're doing, and I thank the Lord for the people who are listening. There's so much out there today that it's hard to know what to believe and what not to believe, but I can tell you one thing. You can believe what's being said on this program, and I just trust that the people will remember that and continue to support you in it. And I just thank the Lord for the privilege of being here with you today.
Well, Ms. Annette, it is a privilege to have you on. You have been, you know, studying the Bible most of your life. And for such a time as this, we all need to really get to know more what is in that precious book that God has given us. It's like a, you know, I just think of it like a guide. It is a guide for right living, and so many people have ignored it and missed out on the good things that God has in store for us. But we are so thankful about the founders, though. They read that Bible and they listened. They had preachings all day long back in those days. But first of all, Ms. Annette, I'd like to start off with the way the founders did, and I'd like to ask the listeners to come and agree with us. We want to do what really must be done, which is to start the things that, you know, when we're about the business of helping our nation, I think we need to, first of all, give it to God in prayer that he may give us supernatural wisdom because we don't have any on our own. So I'm going to try to, if I can get Ms. Barbara to come on, I'm going to try to right now see if I can get her on. If she can come on, we will ask her to pray. I don't know if she can hear me. Ms. Barbara, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
How about me?
Oh, good, Ms. Barbara. Oh, it's good. Well, if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, if you'll start us off in prayer, I'd appreciate that.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. Let's pray together.
Dear Heavenly Father,
we are so grateful, Lord, that you desire, us to know truth. You desire for us to grow in knowledge of you and, Father, of your thoughts. And that's our desire also. And, Father, today we come before you asking, Lord, that you would teach us of your ways, of your truth. Father, we're so grateful that you have knowledge for us, Lord, and we desire it. And we're grateful, Father, for those that are listening to the program. We pray, Father, that we would all just be open to you, O God, and to you alone and your truth. And that, Father, we will lay aside our preconceived ideas so that we can more fully embrace what you share with us from your word, Father. We pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge of you, O God. You are so wonderful, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Ms. Barbara. Ms. Annette, are you with us? Do you
yes.
still hear me? Okay. I hope y'all are not hearing. Sometimes there's some kind of reverberation that's coming back, static, and so I'm praying, Lord, please don't let it be really bad so people can understand us. But I think I'd like to start off with just mentioning, I just want to commend the efforts of Governor Perry to bring this nation together in prayer. And I think there is wisdom in that because, indeed, the founders did the same thing, and many presidents have done the same thing. They know that we're not just physical creatures. We are spiritual beings, and that's why this nation was founded. It's because a holy people really knew about an almighty God and the power that, you know, came with worshiping a holy God, Jehovah God. And they wanted us to proclaim that power, that goodness, that mercy, that can form a nation. And I think at this time, Ms. Barbara, Ms. Annette, it is so key that we do just that. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Ms. Annette, on that National Day of Prayer that pretty much Governor Perry has asked to set aside. I think August the 6th, I think, is the date.
Oh, I heard a little bit about that, and I thought that was just great. I wish all the governors in the whole United States would do that. I'm not sure about the date, but we need to find out the date and be a part of that and get the word out.
Yeah, I think they have a website on it. Ms. Barbara, what are your thoughts on that? Have you heard about it?
I have, and I tell you what, I became so excited about it, and you're right, Diana. He is following in the footsteps of the founding fathers. Even before we became a nation, our representatives in Congress set aside days of fasting and prayer and seeking God, and they recognized that human wisdom is so lacking. It is not enough. And, you know, at all times we're to seek God's truth. And so Governor Perry has set aside a day to do this in Texas, and I'm hoping that's only the beginning.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What a, you know, it really is, that light is shining so bright for this nation. And there's people, of course, that, again, would down such a move. And you know, with what's going on, even with President Obama, how he welcomes, you know, the prayer on Ramadan there at the White House, and all sorts of things are happening. And Ms. Barbara, you even mentioned something about Hillary Clinton. Would you explain a little bit about what you heard in the news?
Yes, I got an email that talked about the funding that of mosques by taxpayer dollars all over the world. And it's coming through the State Department, where, of course, Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State. And it's apparently the news media in Atlanta, Georgia, exposed this, but it was kept under wraps for some time. I don't know how long it's been known, but the word is just now getting out that our taxpayer dollars are funding mosques, the renovation of mosques. And actually, in a video that I watched that the Atlanta Journal produced, it showed that the State Department actually has pictures of the renovations that our money is going to fund. And Hillary Clinton has a close relationship with her assistant deputy secretary of state, who is Muslim. In fact, the wife of representative, or former representative, because he had to resign in disgrace, Wiener. Representative Wiener's wife is Muslim. He is Jewish. And Mrs. Wiener is her background, her family, her mother, her father, her brothers are all involved in the Muslim Brotherhood and Sisterhood. You know, and let me remind everybody that the Muslim Brotherhood and Sisterhood, they are dedicated to the destruction of Western civilization from within, which means that they have to work their way into places of influence and power where decisions are made in our country in order to destroy our country and our freedom, the Constitution, and so forth. That's the sole purpose of the Muslim Brotherhood from the time it was founded in 1928 in Egypt to present day members. And we have in our State Department a person of tremendous influence who is part of that Muslim Brotherhood Sisterhood organization.
Wow. It just reminds me of when we talked earlier to John Bernard, Miss Barbara.
Uh-huh.
That was really on July 4th, which was an amazing interview with him, as always. But, you know, that is really, it's almost like, I guess, you know, they have a plan of attack. And one of them is to ingratiate yourself into offices of power. And that's what they've done in the case of the mole, Hesham Islam, who befriended somebody in the Department of Defense in the Navy and got so high up that he was able to really affect the strategy in Afghanistan. I mean, to the point that, you know, we, as mighty and powerful as America is, we are now going backwards and giving back to the keys to the Taliban, whom we ousted at the very beginning. So we didn't win. It's like we went full circle from winning to now bowing down to them. And again, that's what happens when they get in there. So what you're saying, I can believe it wholeheartedly, because that is their plan of attack. And Ms. Annette is going to come in and she's going to share it with us, how they have even affected our places of faith. And with that in mind, Ms. Annette, tell us about Chrislam.
Well, Chrislam is something that I just recently learned about, and it just really concerns me that our churches are embracing the Muslim faith now. I understand on the 26th of June, a group of churches in several states invited the Muslims in to share in their program. They call it Shared Faith, and they had them in with their prayers and the mixture with Christianity. Now, you know, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And it also warns about these raving wolves slipping into the churches. But American churches are beginning to embrace Islam. It's Rick Warren sort of got it started, Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, whenever he was asked to pray at President Obama's inauguration. Let me give you some information here from the Shared Faith website. That's what it says about it. Faith Shared, it's Faith Shared instead of Shared Faith. Faith Shared asks houses of worship across the country to organize events involving clergy reading from each other's sacred texts. An example would be a Christian minister, Jewish rabbi, and Muslim imam participating in a worship service or other event. Suggested greetings will be provided from the Torah, the Gospels, and the Quran, but communities are encouraged to choose readings that resonate with their congregation. Involvement of members from the Muslim community is key, and they go on to say that they give instructions on how to do this. Now, I have a list here of the different congregations that took part in this, and if you'll notice, if you can go on the website, www.nowtheendbegins.com, and see this for yourself. But you'll notice that it's in the churches. The Christians were not invited into the mosques, strictly in the churches. But it's a subtle way of merging all religions, which we know Revelation 13 and 14, when it has this one world leader and one world political leader and one world religious leader. It's a merge of religions, and that's fast happening. And it's sad to say that some of our mainline churches at that are embracing this. And it's just no wonder that we have money being taken away from taxpayers to fund the Islam belief and to fund these mosques. I was just looking here just a few minutes ago. I don't know if you're familiar with this word. I can't even pronounce it or not, but it's D like in Delta, HIMMITUDE. And what it is, I understand that in this new health care bill that Obama's pushed down everybody's throat, that Muslims are exempted from the government mandate to purchase insurance. And what that does, that I don't know how it's pronounced, Dimitude or something like that, they are considered to be exempt from it because they don't believe in insurance. And the thing about it is, this one person here made a point that Christians will have crippling IRS liens placed against their assets, their real estate, and even accounts receivable, and face prison because they refuse to buy insurance or pay the penalty tax. Meanwhile, people like Louis Farrakhan will have 100% of his health needs met by the de facto government insurance. Non-Muslims will be paying to tax to subsidize Muslims. So it's no wonder that through this program that Hillary Clinton is promoting that we're building mosques. But you know something, Barbara and Diana? America, we have brought it on ourselves. Barbara, you're a great student of American history, and I've learned so much from listening to you and to David Barton. But you know, the people they're turning deaf ears. We're not listening to what the Lord's trying to tell us in His mercy. We've turned away from God. And in Psalms 75, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. And He putteth down one and setteth up another." And, you know, we've brought it upon ourselves. I don't know, I hate to say this, but I'm wondering if we've gone too far. The mudslide that this nation has gotten into, I just wonder if we've gone too far. I don't mean to sound like defeatist. I don't mean to sound defeated. I know that God is greater. But there's just so much now. We're so guilty of so many sins. And like Israel, we can expect punishment. We've legalized sodomy. We've killed millions of babies. We've allowed sexual perversion, even blaspheming God and taking away the Ten Commandments. We've brought this upon ourselves. And I just hope that people will wake up. I know that God changed His mind about Nineveh. It was so wicked, He sent Jonah to warn them, and the people repented. And so they got a 100-year reprieve, so to speak. Later in the book of Nahum, they write back doing the same old stuff. But when they repented, God changed His mind, so to speak. You've heard people say, well, does God ever change His mind? He did in that case. And He might, if enough people in America would repent and turn back to Him, He might stop this, all these disasters we're experiencing, droughts and tornadoes and floods and fires, all of those things. When we walk out from under God's umbrella protection, we can just expect those things, because you better believe the devil is standing right there, ready to pounce on us when we walk out from under God's protection. But the thing is, we bring it upon ourselves, and we need to repent in sackcloth and ashes, just like Nineveh did.
Mm. You're so right, Miss Annette. And Miss Barbara, I can't remember what it is, if it's in the Romans or some other thing that I have heard, when it talks about when a nation has godly leaders. You know, I think choose godly leaders that it may go well with you. Because of, you know, otherwise. And we're seeing that right now because a lot of the things, unfortunately, that President Obama has done is very anti-God. And it's like we're reaping and reaping the results of that. And from what you're saying, too, Ms. Annette, it's just really very, very troubling. And I'm hoping that people would wake up. We have an important event, 2012, in this nation, where God put us here to be allowed to choose the leaders that we put forth. And I'm hoping that people will look, because, you know, you see the signs of the times. You hear the UNs and the rumbling. You hear Hillary Clinton and what's coming out of there. And more of the Bible is just details are opening up. That is exactly, you know, has been brought out in the Bible. I don't see how an atheist can really keep hiding their head in the sand. Can you, Ms. Barbara?
Well, I can't. We see it all happening before our very eyes, and it is the fruit of what we have, the seeds we have sown. And you know, when we're talking about Nineveh, and I appreciate that reminder so very much, Miss Annette, but I'm reminded also that the change, the repentance, was led from the top down. The king put on sackcloth and ashes and repented, and the people followed. And they did turn from their wicked ways, which were very, very, very evil. But it was started from the top down with the leadership repenting, and followed by the people. And whether we've gone too far, whether there is no turning back or not, you know, our response is the same, is that we keep on speaking truth and keep repenting ourselves and winning souls for the kingdom of God and encouraging repentance and praying for repentance. And, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. And I may have put that a little bit, I was just from memory doing that, so I may have it a little bit out of order, I don't know. But basically, that's the crux of it. It's still there. And I pray, that there will be a turning back and a turning around, and because there's nothing but sorrow and tragedy ahead for those that are left here, you know, when for our children and our grandchildren to live in a world that's not blessed by God is a horror beyond description.
Well, you're right, Barbara. It does start at the top, and, you know, you see some of the court cases now that are playing out, and you're shocked at the results of it, and you wonder, well, has our nation come to the place that we cannot even see truth in our court, in our court system? But, you know, we elect those leaders, and I think most people do that in good faith, elect the leaders. But because of our sins in this nation, God allows one to be promoted that's not good for the nation. Now, yeah. The best thing that could possibly happen would be for our president and those people we have elected, for them to turn their hearts to God. I'm thankful we've got some good ones up there. And, you know, Governor Perry in Texas, he's a good example of a good leader. And we Christians, we have a responsibility to support those. And we have to put aside, well, what's in it for me? You know, a lot of times people vote thinking they'll get some kind of handout from the government. Well, we don't need to think about, especially personally, what's in it for me personally. But we need to think about, how are these people going to lead?
That's right.
And it's... We're to blame for who we elect, but if we don't have a discernment of the Lord of how to vote, well, you know, a lot of times we make mistakes when we go to mark that ballot.
You know, at the beginning of this nation, that our war for independence was not fought for what they could get out of it personally, because they were willing to do what was right and stand for what was right, for principle. It wasn't about what they could get. And an example of that would be all the help that came from foreign countries to our shores, to such as Lafayette from France and Rochambeau and different ones, but all the different ones who came and helped us in our fight, because we were standing for what was right, for free, for God-given freedom, and the rule of law. The rule of law. We truly were standing for what was right, and it was a good cause. It was a noble cause. It was the cause of all mankind, the founders even said. And so, you know, we have to know our history, as David Barton admonishes us. We have to know our history and to know our founding, and to carry that on, and to be people, to be real Americans, to continue that tradition,
well, you know, Barbara,
of standing up
Barbara,
for what's right. Yeah,
many of them lost their lives, their homes, their properties, and everything in the fight for freedom.
That's right.
Am I right, you know more about the history than I do, But didn't Arlington Cemetery, didn't that area one time belong to Thomas Jefferson?
It belonged to Robert E. Lee. Arlington belonged to Robert E. Lee's wife, Mary Custis Lee. And
whoever it was, I remember, lost it. And that's where they got Arlington Cemetery now.
Yeah.
Do you know enough about that to tell us a little bit about it?
About Arlington?
Yes.
Yes. I know a little bit. It did belong to Robert E. Lee's wife, and she was a descendant of the Custises, were descendants of Martha Washington. And so it was built, the house itself, Arlington House, was built by a descendant to honor the memory of George Washington. And he held many events there after he built Arlington, many, many events to recognize George Washington and to perpetuate the knowledge of Washington and what he was all about and what he stood for, what he sacrificed and so forth. So Robert E. Lee married into that family. When he made the decision to resign from the United States Army because he could not raise his sword against his own people in Virginia, he made that decision right there at Arlington House. And through much prayer, he came to that decision. And so they left Arlington to go back to Virginia, and they were never able to return to Arlington House and to that estate after the war.
This nation was bought with a great price.
Yes,
and you're talking about our leaders. What big responsibility they have. Well, the early American leaders, some of them even gave their lives for us to have the freedoms that we're now tossing aside.
Miss Annette, Miss Barbara, I was just thinking about we got to go to Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, or was it last year, Miss Barbara? And I remember us going to the church. What was the name of that church in Washington that we went to, the cathedral? Was it the net?
Okay. We went to the National Cathedral. We didn't go
National
to St. John's, although we have been to St. John's there in Washington D.C., which is the Church of the Presidents. But the National Cathedral is the Cathedral of St. Peter and St. Paul. That's the full name of it, and it is that place where our nation has gathered. That's where they gathered after 9/11. And President Bush spoke there after 9/11, but it has been the place for our nation. It is our nation's church, and it is an Episcopal church.
And it was really very impressive, just one of the most beautiful buildings, probably that I've ever seen. But what really caught my attention, Miss Barbara, was when we were in there and one of the tour guides was so proud of the fact that they also had other faiths praying there. And if I remember rightly, even Islam.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. yes.
Miss Barbara, Miss Annette, I just think to myself, I ask God for a word. I like to ask him for a word all the time. And I'm looking at Zechariah chapter 2, a man with a measuring line. And I'm thinking, it's right here. Zechariah had instructed them to leave Babylon quickly. the bottom of my life application was saying that this was an urgent request because Babylon would be destroyed because its decadent culture would cause God's people to forget their spiritual priorities. Now, I think that's where America is, aren't we? The decadent culture has really influenced younger and younger generation. And because the history and the truth is no longer realized, we are so easily misled. I mean, that tour guide had no problem saying that. All these faiths come together here in prayer, and I really felt that was blasphemy. And if they had understood history, they would have realized that, you know, America did fight against Islam, and we fought it well with Thomas Jefferson. They knew what Islam was, and many people try to portray Jefferson as not a follower of Christ, but he was a very devout follower of Christ, and that, you know, he did not get a Quran to worship the Quran, you know, because I think it's been portrayed that he has gotten a Quran or something like that, but I think it was to study.
It was, because we were about to go to war with the Barbary pirates of northern Africa, the Muslims there, because the Muslims had carried on piracy, murder, and mayhem for so many years and were charging tribute of the nations, from the nations, in to keep the people that they captured from being killed. So Thomas Jefferson, as president of the United States, was about to go to war with the Muslim nations. He was not going to pay the money anymore for protection of our people. He was going to get get it settled that we're not going to be blackmailed and manipulated like that. So he purchased a Quran to study the enemy's thinking, which would be a very good thing for our leaders to do today.
That's right.
And it's so sad, Ms. Annette, because that lack of understanding, the people just see the headlines. Thomas Jefferson had a Quran. And it's okay for someone to swear an oath to Quran. After all, Thomas Jefferson had a Quran. But because we don't know the history, the younger and younger generation can't go and say, well, that's not true. He did not worship the Quran. He did not believe in Islam. You know, it is not right. That's not the foundation. And when the truth is not being told to the younger generation, it's going to be forgotten. I think that's what the enemy hopes to do. They hope that all vestiges of the foundation can be removed. We have the ACLU. That is their primary goal, I think, is to remove the remembrance of this nation's history, the foundation that is in the Bible. And so we find ourselves at the crossroad where now, it's like you're saying, Ms. Annette, people don't realize that Chrislam is a blasphemy. To put the two together, oh my goodness, I cannot imagine what the Lord thinks of that.
Well, you can't mix oil and water, and he definitely said that be not unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Well, it's even worse than that.
And he is a jealous God.
It's even worse than that because it's demonic. Muhammad himself and the God that he created, Allah, is a demon creature who demands blood sacrifice, human sacrifice. Their God, the Muslim God, demands killing and raping. For example, if a Muslim kills a Muslim woman for some, whether she's committed adultery or another offense against the Quran, before that woman is killed, she has to be raped before she's killed. It, according to the Quran, it is a sin to kill a Muslim woman without raping her first. This is a demonic system. Muhammad believed that he was demon-possessed, and I certainly agree with his evaluation. And, you know, so to join, what scripture is it, Miss Annette, that it talks about that very thing, you know, don't be joined. There's something about demons or demonic, and that's what we're talking about here.
Yes, and I think about, again, that Zechariah, when it says, you know, the decadent culture would cause God's people to forget their spiritual priorities, as in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I just think, too, you know, that recent example, Miss Annette, Miss Barbara, you know, and I've talked about it before, NBC, you know, leaving out Under God, One Nation Under God, you know, on the Pledge of Allegiance that was played, I think, at a golf tournament that was aired on their network. Again, you know, people, you know, we've got to start realizing we have to set priorities, and that spiritual priorities, I mean, it really means eternity, but we're so busy trying to do what feels good. I want to watch this because it feels good. It's entertaining. You know, I don't really care about the fact that, you know, this network has pretty much, you know, not just unpatriotic, but really, you know, just negated, you know, what is rightfully a heritage of this nation and in our nation's history, which is to honor God. And I'm thinking, you know, people can't make a stand because it's like they're so mired in what feels good that they don't care anymore. They don't seem to care anymore.
Well, Diana, you're absolutely right. You know, we Americans, we have to be entertained. I mean, that's, and I'm as guilty as anybody, because what do I do when I'm tired and from the day? I go sit down in front of that boob tube in there and flip it on and see what's on to see that I can sleep by. And sometimes I wake up, I think, oh my, I shouldn't be filling my mind with that junk. So, you know, even we spend so much time being entertained, and we don't have time for the Lord. And, you know, Christians, you know, and I believe it's in 2 Peter, it says judgment begins within the household of God. If we scarcely stand, how will the unrighteous stand? So we Christians, we need to sort of sweep around our own doors and get our own houses straight. I know that when I wake up and I've gone to sleep and some of that trash comes on, I think, my goodness, my mind was being filled with that while I was asleep. And I have to repent of it. We don't need to have our minds bombarded all the time with trash.
That's right. That's
and Ms.
Right.
Barbara, I've heard you talk about how you love that time of prayer with the Lord, you know, that time when you're speaking, how sweet that is for you.
Well, you know, it's a necessity. I know it is for y'all, too. It's an absolute necessity for me to live, just to live. This morning, oh, my goodness, I was going to tell you about this. I didn't know it was going to be on the air. but this morning, about 10 o'clock, I was feeling down, and that is just so unusual. I can't tell you how unusual it is for me. And I realized with just a sudden, it was a sudden realization, I'm not armored up. I had been in the scripture. I had been, you know, but I had not, something happened between the time I was reading God's word and into prayer time, and I had not armored up. And I did so immediately, and the change was immediate. And, you know, to enter into that quiet time and personal time with the Lord in a meaningful way was absolutely necessary for me to live.
Wow. And, Ms. Annette, you talk about waking up at 3 o'clock sometimes, and, you know, what do you do?
Well, years and years ago, I was so hungry to know more about the Lord. And we had foster children living with us. We had 6 children from ages 2 through 12. And there just never seemed to be any quiet time, you know, any time. And I said, Lord, I need a teacher. I need a teacher. And, you know, and I think it's in one of the Johns, it says, you need no man to teach you, but the Holy Spirit will teach you. Well, he started waking me up at 3 o'clock, just like a clock going off. And I'd get up, all I had was my Bible, a notepad, and a pen, and a dictionary. And he began to reveal scriptures. That was sweet, sweet time. And by the time the family got up, I was so excited I could share it with them.
Amen.
Wow.
Well, there's no substitute for that time with him. And as I found out this morning, there's no substitute for also using the tools that he gives us, that he reveals to us in his word, as it says in Ephesians 6, to put on the whole armor of God so that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. And one of the wiles of the devil is to bring oppression on God's people, if we allow it, you know. And so we have to put on that full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the sandals of peace, bringing the gospel to the world, and lift up that shield of faith, which will quench every fiery dart. And I was having some fiery darts aimed at me this morning, but faith in God will quell those fiery darts of the enemy.
And Barbara, in Ephesians 6, that talks about taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. Satan would say something to him, and he'd say, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written,"
that's
and
right.
Whack, he'd quote scripture to him. And
that's right.
That is the sword of the Spirit.
That's right.
I know the other night I was so upset about something, and I couldn't sleep. It was just, oh, my goodness, it was just worrying me. I had thought that somebody was had gotten my credit card, you know, and you just worry over things like that. And
yeah.
So finally I thought I was not going to get any sleep, and I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, if you will, just take care of it. Well, nothing changed at that moment as far as my credit card was still in the same situation it was when I went to bed. But I got the sweetest peace. God gave me a peace about it. Now, that's that peace that passes understanding. When circumstances and situations apparently haven't changed, you still get a peace about it. You know God's taking care of it. As it turned out, he did take care of it. But
that's right.
Barbara,
but you put your mind on him, that peace that he gives when your mind is stayed on him.
That's right. But well, before then, I was just tossing and turning and worrying over it and worrying over it. But when I turned it over to him, he took care of it.
I want to add to that, and, you know, for the listeners, you know, if you're not a believer, you're not going to understand. But if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, life is abundant because he does give you hope. And I love the Psalm 103, Miss Annette, Miss Barbara. It calms me down. And it just changes the whole atmosphere for me when I, you know, claim those words, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfy our desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And to me, one of the sweetest things in it is, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, God is so good. And I just get so excited listening to y'all. And I'll share my other day when bad weather came to our area. And, you know, with all the things that we've heard, the tornadoes, and it was truly one of the awfulest sounds I have ever heard. I've never heard or felt that much pressure as I did the other day. It felt and sounded like there was a tornado coming, and it was at night. I was there, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm just going to pray and pray. And when you could hear that thunder and lightning, I mean, you can hear that thunder. When it finally came over our house, Miss Annette, Miss Barbara, guess what? Soft rain came. And that thunder stopped. And I had to write it down in my prayer journal, you know how I like to write down, because how sweet of God. But now I did put my faith and trust in Him, and I just believed that even if it came, that I'm in God's will.
That's right.
You know, and whatever He wills will be done. I'm ready to go if the case is, you know, one came. But how sweet in that I heard instead a gentle rain. And I just wanted to cry. I thought, how sweet you are, God. And for the listeners, you know, if you don't know the Lord, you won't experience that. And, you know, we're not just speaking out of our own stories. But, you know, what's so great about this nation is this nation was formed by that mighty hand that could have come and swept through this nation like thunder. But instead He came, and this became a land of milk and honey. Isn't it, Miss Barbara? A land of milk and honey.
It is. It's the promise, like the promised land. And you know, Diana, what you said about the gentle rain, how it came to you as a gentle rain, reminded me of back in Massachusetts in the 1600s, around 1622, thereabouts. The Pilgrims, they needed rain, and it was a real witness to the Indians that they set aside a day to, they went into the church and together, and it was a day of prayer and fasting and seeking God and repenting. They repented to one another. They repented to God. And it was a beautiful day of reconciliation with one another and with God, and to be back in right relationship with Him and with one another. When they came out of the church at the end of the day, it was an all-day fasting and praying, and as they came out of the church, it began to rain very gently. And the Indians were so really impacted by that. They said, you know, when we ask for rain and do the rain dance and all that, you know, all things they did, it comes with thunder and lightning and great storms, and that was just a witness to them about the God of the Pilgrims.
Wow. Well, the enemy wants to take away, I think, the heritage that is in this nation, and that's why they're working so hard. They have got so many working, unfortunately, with them that doesn't understand that they are just really pawns in a war. I almost think of it like a chess game, and they don't understand that there is a prize, and it's their souls. And but Miss Annette, you know, the fear and awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and you know that so very well. And that's why it's so important for you to fight for younger generations to be raised right and not to be misled and indoctrinated.
That's true, Diana. We owe it to this generation. I feel like sometimes my generation has failed, the generation under me, and then that generation is failing the other generation. And I carry a lot of responsibility for that because in my earlier years, although I tried to teach my children about the Lord, carry them to church and everything, but I didn't really, really know Him and know how powerful and how sweet He is. And so we need to, if we possibly can, this generation, get them prepared for the times ahead, help them to be armed and have on the whole armor of God, and show them how, because they're going to need it. They're going to need it. You know, I'm going to quickly say this. Sometimes, Barbara, you're talking about feeling oppressed. I know I do too. Sometimes when I think, well, I've supposed to be doing the Lord's work, but I'm failing and failing, and just the old enemy, you know, that's attacking us. We bind him away because Matthew 18:18 says whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. But sometimes we need to just look up, raise up our arms, and say, Daddy, I need a hug. because God is our Father.
Yes.
And we just sometimes just need to say, I need a hug. And you know what? You can almost feel his arms wrap around you when you do that.
Mm-mm.
Wow. Well, I think August 6th may be that for us as a nation, Miss Annette. We can come together and ask God for mercy. And I looked up the website. Their website is theresponseusa.com, and it's August the 6th. Oh, what a wonderful time that is. That is my mother's birthday. And but what a wonderful day that's going to be, August the 6th, the Response USA. It's called The Response USA.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, we are so glad that we, you know, got to talk to you, Miss Annette, and you got to mention and tell us about Chris Lam. And, Lord, may God forgive us. Lord, please forgive us, because I hate to even say those two things together, Miss Barbara. I just really, I feel so wrong in even mentioning those two together. What an abomination. And the Bible says he is a jealous God. I know he is a very merciful God, but I think to myself, why is God so jealous? I think it's because he knows that it will take us away from him.
Yeah. The source
and
of
ultimately
all,
it is
all life. It takes from us. It does take from us. It steals. You know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy and take us away from God. That's right. You know, Diane, I wanted to mention one more thing about the integration and this unequal yoke that we're entering into, have been entering into with as a nation with the evil of Islam. And it was only last week that Hillary Clinton made another statement from the State Department that we would be resuming contact with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and of course on a limited basis, she says, and of course emphasizing the importance of nonviolence and so forth, but that the United States, under her direction from the State Department, would be entering back into resuming that relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, it's very troubling, and it's really troubling. One of the things that I heard too, and Miss Annette, I'm going to ask you to close this in prayer, but I wanted to mention this because Miss Barbara just reminded me on Devka.com, which is an awesome website on what's going on around Israel and Middle East. One of the things that they were talking about is that Turkey and Israel, because of the State Department, has really been talking to each other. And, you know, Iran now has those missiles, long-range missiles, that have been tested and that they were pretty much told to be quiet about it. But anyway, doors are opening again for a relationship between Turkey and Syria. I'm sorry, Turkey and Israel, and it mentioned Obama's dealings. He made some phone calls anyway. But, you know, we talk about Turkey and what's going on, and that's another dangerous time because they're affecting this nation with one of their leaders called Fethullah Gulen. So, again, Islam is everywhere. He is in this nation. And one of the most failing things for people that says, you know, oh, you're talking about a religion of peace.
No.
In Egypt, 90% of their children, their female, gets this female genital mutilation. And that is a lot, as a country where there's a lot of people that are knowledgeable, but yet because of their tradition and ties towards Islam, very strict, that is being done 90% of the time to young girls. You need to look it up. FGM, even the United Nations, has asked that it be stopped, but they keep on doing it. So, you know, what's going on in Egypt is not a good sign for the rest of us. But we thank God we know God because we know the end of the story. And with that in mind, Ms. Annette, I know you wanted to say some other things before you closed in prayer, so I'm going to let you go back to what you wanted to say, Ms. Annette.
I'm sorry.
I know that you wanted to mention something earlier, so I'm going to let you go ahead.
I just wanted to say Turkey is one of those nations. This is Ezekiel 38 that will be coming against Israel in the last days. All those, that unrest in Yemen and Libya and Egypt, all of that, they're fighting among themselves with the Muslim Brotherhood leading the charge. But there's going to come a time when they're going to band together to come against Israel, and that's going to be exciting because God himself is going to intervene after they attacked Israel. And that's in Ezekiel 38 and Zechariah 14 and other places in the Bible. So it's interesting, but Turkey is not a nation that can be trusted.
And for people that are listening that, you know, are hiding their head in the sand, they're saying, oh, you know, all this is just hogwash. I don't believe it. I dare say that if you'll study the Bible, what you're seeing the news, like Miss Annette is saying, has been saying for quite a long time. All you have to do is read the Bible, and you're going to see the next step. You know, it's happening exactly as the Bible has said it will. And I think Mr. Wayne and Mr. Dan, even on one of our previous shows, talked about how exact the Bible is in the time frame that they give. So you can discount it all you want to, but it really means a lot to your soul because the Bible is true. There is life after, and where you go, it is your choice. It is your decision. But God gave his son so that you would know which way to go. Jesus Christ willingly gave his life for you so that you can look at his life and know that an awesome God loves you very much, very, very much. There's nobody I know of that I would give my son for, but Jesus Christ, God's son, he was given for you and for me. And so with that in mind, I know, Miss Annette, I know you'd like to invite them to come to know your Savior.
Of course. You know, our Jesus, he represents love. But there, Muhammad in Islam represents terrorism and horror and the very opposite of what our Lord represents. You ready for us to pray? Is it that time?
Yes, ma'am. Miss Annette, if you don't mind, close us in prayer and add anything you'd like to the conversation.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have. Lord, the battle's not ours, but yours. And, Father, I just pray that as these words go out on the airways, Lord, that you will take them and multiply them, Lord, what has been said. And, Lord, I just pray that people are listening. And not only, Lord, to this program, but there are many other programs, too, Father. We pray for people like Hal Lindsay and other people like that, Lord, who are trying to get the word out. And, Father, open people's eyes to the truth. Time is running out. And, Lord, that we must turn our hearts toward you, Lord. And, Father, I just ask you to continue to bless Barbara and Diana in putting this program together. Bless the people who are willing to come on, their guests that they have on the program. Lord, they're fighting hard, Lord, to make our land free again and return us back to the way that you intended for us to be. Lord, we're offshoot of England, and, our Lord, I feel like that we're adopted in. We're adopted in to Israel. Not necessarily England, but to Israel, Lord. We're adopted in. We're just a branch, and we're grafted in. And, Father, we base our beliefs on their Messiah, same as our Messiah. Jesus was a Jew. Dear Heavenly Father, since we are part of the Jewish family, Lord, we need to be abiding by the same rules that they abide by and that you required of them. Lord, the Ten Commandments, Lord, I just pray that you'll give people courage to put those Ten Commandments back out in public view. Lord, just touch the hearts and the consciences of our leaders that we've elected. Help them to see the need to turn their hearts back to you, and what a big responsibility they have. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for the rains that you've been giving us, Lord, for our crops. And we thank you most of all for Jesus. Jesus, I just thank you for the sacrifice you've made for us. And, Lord, I just pray that every breath that we take, Father, we'll be breathing in your Holy Spirit, Lord. And, Father, I just pray that we'll live good examples before others, that they can see Jesus in us. Just help us to be reflections of your character, Father. Forgive us when we fail. And we just ask you now, Lord, to continue to bless the City on the Hill program. And I thank you, Lord, that all the electronic stuff fits together. Only you could do that, Lord. And I just thank you for giving Diane and Barbara the ability to put it together. And we give you all honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Miss Annette and Miss Barbara and listeners. If you get a chance, look up a DVD called, it's on Netflix even, it's called The Privileged Planet. If you're a scientist or one who is a very learned man, you need to study what these astronomers are finding out that's making them know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a Lord and Savior, that Jesus Christ is real, heaven and hell is real. I think when you think and look at this planet and the beauty that's therewith, you know the truth in your heart that there is an almighty God who created this. So thank you. And Ms. Barbara, would you like to add something?
Oh, just a big thank you to you, Diana, and to you, Miss Nett, and to our listeners for joining us today, and most of all to the Lord. I'm so grateful to him.
Oh, yes, we all are. And listeners, we have a joy that I think we can understand what Paul was doing when he was singing in jail, right, Miss Nett, Miss Barbara? Sometimes we feel like, you know, this is like a prison. We hear so many bad things. But, you know, we can still sing praises to the Lord.
That's
he
Lord
is
great.
Good to us. So, listeners, we hope you'll be blessed also with coming the Lord that we know, the Lord that loves us. And we thank you, and we hope you'll tune in tomorrow on City on the Hill Radio Show. Goodbye. Thanks, Miss Annette. Thanks, Miss Barbara.
Bye.
Goodbye.